Shema Yisrael.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
Of your own Israel, Amrim Shema Israel.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This public service program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today we bring you the second part of our radio adaptation of the novel Hear Ye Sons by Irving Fineman. Juano Hernandez is featured as the narrator.
Hear ye, sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father.
I am 68, an age when a man remembers his youth, an age when a man wishes that his children understood him. I try to make them see that this father of theirs, this fairly successful American lawyer, grew from a studious young Polish Talmudist in a world they do not know. I tell them how I grew up and married in the old country, and how I fled to America. And they listen as if I were recounting a dream. But this was no dream, but a life that was lived. It was in the first year of my marriage. I was 18, living with my wife's parents in the little town of Myshenitz in Tsarist Poland. We were in the fast of Esther, and the morning was one of burning frost. In the synagogue, I had just doffed my prayer shawl when an old Jew in a ragged coat came in. His beard was frozen, and his mustache dripped with ice.
Peace, Grandfather.
And to you, peace, my boy.
This is bitter weather for travelers.
Aye, bitter weather for old bones. In this season, an old man like myself should be home with his grandchildren.
You are a stranger in our town.
The poor are strangers everywhere. I hope you will never learn that, my son. But when a man has a daughter to be married and no dowry money, he must travel the roads and beg if need be.
You are cold and weary, Grandfather. Come to my house and we'll get you warm and full of food.
But this is the fast of Esther.
Grandfather, you have forgotten your Torah, where it is told that Abraham let God himself stand waiting while he fed the hungry travelers.
Oh, my son, you are as learned in the Torah as you are kind-hearted. I'll gladly stretch my toes before your fire.
I led the old man to my house, and my wife, Ruth, set cheese and eggs, herring and bread and brandy out for him.
Young man, I understand now why you are of such a fine disposition. Your wife is beautiful and a fine cook.
I know how lucky I am.
You have made a feast for me, daughter, and in return I have nothing to give you but advice. If you'll allow an old man...
We'd be grateful.
Well then, my dear girl, in your condition, you must avoid the sight of anything ugly and unclean. For it is said of Rabbi Yochanan... Ronaldo, what have I said? What's the matter?
Ruth had blushed scarlet and had run to me and hidden her head on my breast. I looked at her in confusion. What had the old man meant? Then I saw her eyes, and my heart leaped with happiness so that I could not speak. Thus I learned that my wife was with child. And thus it was that at 19, I listened to the cry of a woman in labor, of which it was said that it travels from one end of the world to the other. And when Ruth and I looked on our little daughter, Naomi, it seemed to us that she was as beautiful as Rabbi Yochanan of the legend. Life was good, and my home was a temple of love, and love itself a fount of godliness. Then, in 1887, I was called to the provincial capital to be examined for 5 years military service. It was a time of unrest, especially in the universities, and many young men were being put in the army for reasons not military. I was ushered before a red-faced czarist official.
Well, doctor, what is your report?
Underweight, tubercular type. Chest measurement is below the required minimum.
But this is a Jew. Are you using the special adjusted standards for Jews?
Oh, yes, but even with those, the measurement is below military requirement. Distinctly tubercular type.
Hmm. Unfit for military duty, eh?
Yes, sir.
And yet some of these little Jews know how to make trouble. Right, doctor?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, then, what do you say we put him in the army out of harm's way?
Well, sir, my examination...
I'll accept him on my responsibility.
Quite right, sir.
Off with you, Jew. For 5 years, you'll be a soldier in the army of the Tsar, if you last that long.
When I said goodbye to Ruth and my little one and all those I loved, I felt as if I would never see them again. For although the Russian Empire was not at war, the 5 years' service that the Tsar could take from a man's life could well be the end of him, if he happened to be a Jew. For then the Tsar's rule reserved for him special consideration. With other new recruits, I was taken to a lonely northern station somewhere in a treeless and a frozen landscape, marched for miles through the snow to a filthy barracks. Standing there, half frozen, half conscious, I became aware of a loutish, brutal face staring into mine.
What are you doing here?
I have come to serve the Tsar.
What about your Jewish God? Will you serve him too?
God may be served anywhere, sir. Here I serve the government.
The sergeant spat in contempt. Then he unbuttoned my jacket and pointed at my fringed undergarment.
What's this thing?
A Jew must wear a talis cotton like this, sir.
He plucked a silken strand from the fringe and flitched me across the face with it, staring hard into my eyes and smiling contemptuously. He knew he had desecrated my talis cotton, but he knew also that I dared say nothing. A dozen times that night, the sergeant roused us from our sleep. Lying drunk in his bed, he amused himself bellowing orders at us and keeping us scurrying and stumbling through the barracks. Next day, we were marched round the frozen parade grounds, the sweat freezing on our bodies. Then we were given our first lesson in the soldier's catechism.
Now tell me, my dear friends, what's a soldier? Don't you know? Yuzinkovic!
A soldier is a man of low rank whose duty it is to endure hunger and cold and all other sufferings he may be subjected to in line of duty, and if need be, give up his life for the Tsar.
The sergeant walked up to a poor, illiterate peasant, one Anton Radom, a man who had been in the army for 2 years and was still in his first stage of training.
Now, dear Private Radom, I have an easy question for you. Yes. You get 2 pounds of bread each day. How much do you have in a year? Come now, think.
The peasant sat silent, dull fear staring out of his cow-like eyes.
You don't answer, huh? You ox, you swine. Well, answer this, then. How many days in a year?
I don't know, sir. I can't seem to think.
Next, you Jew. How many pounds of bread a year?
20 pood and 2 pounds, sir.
Very good. Very good, Jew. Since you're so well informed, you'll help me teach this blockhead Radom. You will help?
If I can, sir.
The first lesson is now, Jew. Give him one in a jaw.
Strike him, sir?
That's an order. Well?
Sick at heart, I raised my fist and landed a blow on Radom's face. He did not even wince.
That's no kind of a blow for a soldier. You've insulted him with your ladylike slap. I'll show you how to strike a soldier.
Thus, by the sergeant's special system, either a wrong or a right answer from me could bring me blows and kicks and curses. Thus, I served the Tsar. Then one day, we were inspected by our commandant. He asked me several questions and was impressed by my answers.
Good, good. Your company?
13, sir.
Creed?
The faith of Moses, sir.
You know German?
Yes, sir.
I see. Captain, I suggest you make this man company clerk. We could get more out of him as a clerk than carrying a gun on his thin shoulders.
A good idea, sir, but a new regulation excludes Jews from office work.
I see. For what other occupation you feel yourself fitted?
Perhaps hospital orderly?
Regulation excludes them from that too, sir.
Can nothing further be done with him, then?
No, sir.
The colonel shrugged his shoulders and turned away. The life of cruelty, bestiality, and persecution continued. We Jews were allowed our Sabbath meetings together, but no one knew how long this would continue. One day, the Day of Atonement, I went to a nearby stream, stripped, and washed myself clean in cold water. I tried to throw off all resentful thoughts and renewed my trust in the Almighty. The sun dropped low. Dressing quickly in the chill air, I went to the barn that was our synagogue. Most of the Jewish soldiers were already gathered.
We're waiting for you, Joseph. You're just the man we need for the reader.
Inside our synagogue, it was warm and bright. Candles had been lit. Each man was putting on, over his uniform, the loose white robe and the striped prayer shawl. Some had begun to read from the thick prayer books. Gone was every sign of their ignoble slavery. They stood with dignity, free souls returned to the judgment of their Maker. A light shone in every face. I put on the robe and shawl. In my mind's eye, I could see Ruth, at home, sitting alone with our child on this Day of Atonement, a tear falling from my wife's dark eyes. I took my place. We began the Kol Nidre.
A soldier from your company is at the door. The captain orders you to report at once to the rifle range.
Why?
No reason.
I won't come.
You know what it could mean.
Even the official regulations provide for our release on this day. I won't leave the synagogue.
I'll tell him.
We passed the night in the synagogue, in study, in talk. The candles burned down, dripping warm tears that congealed in the sconces. I thought of the 4 years yet to come in an army dedicated to oppression.
And be thou silent, O my soul, to those who curse me. Frustrate the devices of those...
At dawn, I led the morning prayer. Thus began the long day of fasting and penitence.
Be acceptable to thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Grant peace to us and to all Israel.
When I had finished the prayer, Mendel tapped me on the arm.
The captain has sent several men. You're to report at once for special target practice.
I can't. The regulations...
He says the regulations are being set aside.
I won't leave.
You've made your decision. We'd better hide you in the hayloft. We'll talk later.
I have made my decision. I'm not going back to the barracks. I'm going to run away to America.
They'll catch you, Joseph. You'll be sent to Siberia. You know what that is.
I'll take the risk. 4 more years of this, I've never lived through it. We have no ties in this land. Why should I serve the Tsar and serve hatred? An army that oppresses even its own people. A Jew has no chance in this land. Perhaps someday he will have, but I cannot wait for that.
Well, then you'll need some things. Let me see. Levy, run to our friend Dimitri in town and get civilian clothes. Quick. Now, Paul, go and ask Gregor to buy a ticket at the station.
Little Mendel stood there and gave orders like a colonel. Mendel Gottlieber, my friend, may the Lord preserve him. By midnight, he had me on the train, dressed in civilian clothes, with money and forged papers in my pocket. Dressed as a Russian merchant, I edged my way into a compartment of the train bound for Pskov. Sick fear laid hold of my heart, and the rhythm of the southbound train seemed to say,
Siberia, 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 Siberia.
I sat
Siberia.
Until morning in fear, but also dreaming of home and of Ruth and of a life of human dignity. Early next morning at Pskov, I found I had 5 hours to wait for the train that would carry me south. It was a town outside the pale for Jews. The streets were crowded, and I knew no place to go. I was afraid to speak to anyone. There was a gendarme on the first corner. I walked past him with a step that I hoped was firm.
What do you want of me, officer?
Why, nothing, Excellency. I was whistling at that devil of a coachman.
I see. I thought I had broken some infernal rule.
Oh, not at all, Excellency.
Your good health, officer.
And yours, sir.
I had behaved like a fool. My body was drenched with icy sweat. I was trembling in every limb. I must find a place to hide. I must. It seemed to me hours later, I had passed a score of gendarmes and officers when I came to a little shop with the Star of David in the window. I pushed open the door.
I'm coming. What is it, sir, that Chaim Sholem can do for you?
Father, I'm a stranger here, a Jew. I'm waiting for a train, and I must have something to eat and a place to rest.
Oh, you're among friends here. Come in. Come in, sit down. I'll have my wife light the samovar and fix a couple of eggs. Martha, we have company. Fix a bite to eat.
I'll never forget that good couple. The hot tea, the comfort of speaking of the Torah in my own tongue. Meanwhile, the old couple looked at my soldier's boots and asked no questions, although my presence in their house meant the risk of imprisonment for them. When it was time for the train, the old man insisted on going with me.
You wait for me on the platform, son. I'll get your ticket. You see, I know the ticket seller. Go along now. I'll take care of everything. Here is your ticket, son. And when you get to Bialystok, ask for the shop of Altman the silversmith. He is a good man and will help you. Goodbye, son. And God be with you.
Another sleepless night, then Bialystok, the shop of Altman, the silversmith. And finally, I was safe in the wagon of a trader, rolling down the road to Mishenets, toward home. At the edge of the village, at midnight, I jumped down from the wagon and walked home through the silent streets. I tapped on the window. Ruth came running to the door, and by the time I had stepped inside, her arms were about my neck. There was Ruth, with her new quietness and beauty, There was my little daughter, Naomi, whom I hardly knew. There were a thousand things to be done and said, and there was time only to make plans for my escape and for how Ruth would follow me to America. The next morning, 3 hours before dawn, Jan the peasant, Jan the old friend, came for me in his cart.
Quiet there, Trichka. Quiet, girl. Are you ready, Joseph?
I'm ready, Jan.
Get in the back and hide under the straw. Quick now. The patrol is on the road all night, those long noses. Now, when I say jump, jump. Understand?
I understand.
Get him.
There was a mist. 5 minutes later, the world had shrunk to a small circle in which the little cart moved mysteriously through the black woods. It began to rain. For a long time, I sat in the straw and listened to Jan humming.
Joseph, the patrol, jump!
I ran into the woods and flung myself on the ground under the dripping bushes. I lay there trying to burrow into the ground like a snake while the patrol rode up.
Hey there, Palmer! What are you doing out on the road at such an hour?
Ah, Your Excellency. My old woman says to me yesterday, she says, Jan, go to Australia. But how could I go with my cart broken?
So I don't care about you or your old woman. Why are you on this road at night?
I tried to tell you. Yesterday, my old woman, she tell me, Jan...
Silence, you stupid peasant! Silence! There's no harm in this idiot. Let's go on, boys. I'd like a drink.
Come out, Joseph. All safe now. Come out and let's ride to the border. Stupid peasant, eh? Stupid Tsarist police.
In the dawn, we got out of the cart and walked across the fields together. Jan said nothing, and yet I know he felt a bond between us. He was showing me the way to freedom. Above us, the birds wheeled and whistled against the blue sky. Then Jan stopped and smiled at me and pointed.
There. Look, Joseph, my friend. There it is.
He was pointing at a ditch a few yards away. This ditch was the thing I had come so far to find. This scratch in the earth, scarcely 3 feet deep, this tiny muddy mark across the green fields, was the border. I began to run.
Don't run!
It is past. It is past.
Don't
it is
run,
past.
Don't run.
It is past.
Jan laughed. Peasants, looking up from their work, began to laugh, and so did I. The blue sky rang with the laughter, and I was free. The rest of the road was easy, a tale not worth the telling, but the end was something I shall never forget. I came up on the deck of the ship after many days of storm. Passengers were gathered at the rail of the great ship. There was the smell of land in the air. And there in the sunshine, the wide harbor sparkled and danced in the sun as the arm of my new land reached out to receive the ship. My heart sang. The words of the prophet came to my mind, and I spoke them aloud for all to hear.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who loosest the ties of the bound.
The dramatic portion of our Eternal Light program today was based on the novel Hear Ye Sons by Irving Fineman, author of Dr. Adams, Jacob, and other novels. Now we present a brief talk by Mr. Irving Fineman, who will speak to you from Hollywood.
When I wrote the story Hear Ye Sons, I was moved to tell how Jews in the 19th century, living under the persecution of the tyrannical czars, had steadfastly maintained within the oppressive confines of their ghettos the eternal light of the Jewish spirit. It happened that this book was first published in 1933, the year in which another tyrant, Hitler, came to power and began the most terrible persecution of Jews in all history, which we now know resulted in the torture and slaughter of millions of Jewish men, women, and children. This persecution, however, was different from all others, not merely in its size and virulence, but in the fact that for the first time in history, the persecution of Jews was not just an isolated and unexplainable phenomenon, but a part of a tyrannical attack on the free spirit of all humanity. Hitler made no bones about saying that in his war on democratic freedom, the Jews were his enemy number one. We are thus indebted to Hitler, who tortured and slaughtered not only Jews, but millions of freedom-loving Czechs and Russians, Scandinavians and Poles, Dutchmen and Frenchmen, for making clear for the first time that the survival of the Jewish spirit is closely related to the survival of free democracy everywhere in the world. Here in the United States of America, that spirit has contributed richly to the culture of our great nation from its very beginnings, when the Puritans, steeped in the Old Testament, first landed on these shores. And it is not without significance that the two great symbols of liberty in this sweet land bear inscriptions in which Jews may justly take pride. On the old Liberty Bell in Independence Hall at Philadelphia is a verse from Leviticus, "Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And a bronze plaque in the base of the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor recites the poem by Emma Lazarus, which ends, "Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." Like the hero, hear ye sons, millions of Jews have found freedom and peace within that blessed door. But unlike the hero, hear ye sons, many of them and their children have suffered from the mistaken notion that to be better Americans, they must forget their spiritual inheritance. That is a mistake which has sprung mainly from ignorance of the true spirit of American democracy and of its indebtedness to that inheritance. But in these times, when not merely the United States, but the whole civilized world is bent on the realization of the dream of an ancient Hebrew prophet who said, "Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more," it ill becomes any Jew in America who has been spared the necessity of suffering torture or death for the preservation of democratic freedom to be ignorant now of his great tradition. So I repeat, hear ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father.
The Eternal Light has brought you another in a special summer series of dramatizations, which we call Stories of a People. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Katims. Juano Hernandez was featured as the narrator, and Jack Lloyd appeared as Joseph. Cantor Robert H. Siegel of the Beacon Street Temple in Brookline, Massachusetts, was the soloist. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. This program came to you as a public service of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and was presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the National Broadcasting Company.